Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through.
Hello, folks, and thank you for once again coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find more of the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com and also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Where you can see some of the featured guests we've had onto the show, as well as some links to other websites that are worth noting to go to, as well as on our Give page, some wonderful organizations and charities in which to put your money for to help out these great causes. And so definitely check those out, as well as for just $10, you can text 80100 and then put in the text message LION, and you will get some prompts on how you can donate a stuffed lion to a child who was recently diagnosed with cancer. And there may be some data fees that apply since it's over the cell phone, but it's definitely for a worthy cause. And also you can check us out on Facebook under Bard's Logic, and check it out, like the page, and there's also a group you can search for and ask to join the group. It would be great to see you there. And, of course, callers and chat participation are welcome to call in to talk with the host, our panelists, guests, and other audience members. And, of course, as we do every night here on Bard's Logic, is all mics stay open. And we ask ourselves tonight, will Chris Christie's big re-election victory hail him as the new face of the GOP for 2016? Some media pundits already seem to think so. Bard's Logic will analyze his victory and discuss the possibilities of a Chris Christie nomination as the GOP presidential candidate for 2016. And we'll also talk about some updates and talk on recent developments with Obamacare, and maybe even some immigration reform. So come and join us tonight. Join me, as well as our panelist, James Neighbor, founder of the Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, conservative activist Cindy Todd. Hopefully we'll see our good friend tonight, the author of Hidden Fourth Branch, Kelly Mordecai. And if you'd like to chime in to the show tonight, you're welcome to by calling in to 347-945-7428. Chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, or send me a message here through the Blog Talk Radio's chat that I have up, or if you are a Facebook user, you could send a message there, or you could go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, go to the contact page, and send me an email to let you know there's something you'd like to come in and talk about. And we'll start off with an article for tonight on our topic. But first, I will have our panelists come in, and that will be Cindy Todd and James Neighbors. And I do see other folks calling in, like to chime in as well. But first, we'll open up the panelists, and I see the first other than the panelists to want to chime in is 352. We will be letting you in time. But first we'll be opening it up to James and Cindy. Thank you very much, for calling into the show. How are you?
Good.
Doing great. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm better. I was out for the count since Saturday. It's been, if I wasn't working, I've spent a lot of time in bed trying to get some rest. So I'm feeling some better. Thank you very much, James. So I'm glad I was able to get the show off, on the air for tonight. And Cindy, I believe we got your mic live too as well. How are you?
Oh, I wasn't sure about that. Hi, I'm doing just fine. What's up?
Okay, great.
Besides Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all heard the big win of Chris Christie and how he did get a lot of the Latino votes, the black vote, and women vote. And, of course, some are saying it's a possible precursor to 2016. And so what I'd like to do is start off with an article by, well, the Washington Post. But, as I said, some NSM is already starting to tout it. And the article just simply states, Democrats begin efforts to negatively define Chris Christie before the 2016 campaign. So, of course, that's showing that they already think that he may very well be positioning himself, at least at this time, as a front runner, or at least the face of the GOP for 2016. It says top Democratic officials launched a concerted offensive on Wednesday to define New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in a negative light, believing that he has emerged from his reelection landslide as the Republican Party's strongest potential presidential candidate for 2016. Some Democratic strategists said that the party made a mistake by not spending more money to attack Christie during the gubernatorial campaign, which might have suppressed his margin of victory. Of course, we know I believe he won it by about 60-40% victory over his opponent, and denied the Republican in a sweeping mandate in a blue state. In the months to come, Democrats say they plan to chip away at Christie's moderate image and present him nationally as a hard-edged conservative. And, of course, I'm sure that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, about Chris Christie's conservatism. And what I'll continue with the article here says, in Washington, some of Christie's possible rivals for the 2016 GOP nomination also criticized the governor on Wednesday and sought to diminish the significance of his reelection romp. The maneuvering comes as Christie prepares to become chairman. I think this is very important, folks, to know, if you don't already know this. Become the chairman of the influential Republican Governors Association, which will allow him to crisscross the country raising money and campaigning for fellow GOP governors next year. Democrats said they will attempt to tie Christie to those governors' votes on popular policies. Christie demonstrated his strength as a potential national candidate with his commanding victory on Tuesday, winning 6%, as I said, blah, blah, blah. We'll scroll down because I already covered some of that. So as Christie campaigns next year alongside such Republicans as Florida Governor Rick Scott, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, and Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett, he's going to have to answer some questions. Is this good for states to focus on radical social agendas, said Colm Kometron, executive director of the Democratic Governors Association. What's worked for Christie, this would be interesting, has been to make sure that nobody talks about the issues, that people just get consumed with his personality-driven late-show entertainment. People will see the past bluster and the Vanderbilt routine that the Christie shows. Then they'll focus on the issues, blah, blah, blah. So basically, as we said, they're already starting to tout him as the 2016, of course, saying that he, in the other articles I read, we make it to tonight, saying that he would be the best candidate, and boy, folks, we've heard this before, to run against who is believed to be the Democrat nominee, and that would be Hillary Clinton. And then the article ends, it says, his policies, talk about Chris Christie, set in New Jersey is Bush-Romney, Murphy said. By comparison to the Tea Party, he seems moderate, but he's not. And Democrats would do well to expose this reality. So, of course, to give deference to the ladies, first we'll go with you, Cindy. What do you think about that, and what do you think about Chris Christie as the possible face of the GOP for 2016? I've seen some post tonight on Facebook where someone said, I just puked in my mouth when they heard that people were actually thinking that way, among the other comments. I thought that was the funniest thing that I heard was, oh, I just puked in my mouth or something like that, hearing it. But go ahead, Cindy,
well,
what do you think?
If I'd been eating, maybe I would have too. Well, first of all, you said the Democrats were pining because they hadn't attacked Christy hard enough. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't think they were allowed to attack Christy. I think this is political posturing to make people think that Christy is conservative that the Democrats are scared of him. That's hogwash. That's poppycock. Because we all know that he and Obama are best buddies. I mean, who hasn't seen the picture of them walking along together, Jack Spratt and his wife, laughing and carrying on, having a great time? I mean, Christy is just, they're just waiting to get Christy in so that they can do the same thing to him that they did to Romney. So for the Democrats, that would be great. Now, Hillary, I'm not sure about Hillary, whether she's going to be the one to go up against a Republican anyway, because they may have thrown her under the bus with Benghazi, and they're not intending to give it to her. Anyway, what was the last thing you said? Because I was going to comment on that too.
Oh, about, you mean back on the article?
Yeah.
That I was reading? Okay, let me switch back to that. And then I've got another one I'd like to read later. That's saying that by comparison to the Tea Party, he seems moderate, but he's not. And Democrats would do well to expose that reality.
Okay, well, that's, again, political posturing. They're trying to make him look bad. But did you see the article lambasting Rand Paul? I always get them mixed up. Their names are like opposites. But anyway, Rand Paul had called Christy a moderate. Now, maybe Rand Paul is calling Christy a moderate because he's trying to be polite so that he can stay in good graces with, you know, Republican leadership, because I'm sure he's still considering a bid for president too. So he's using a low tone. You know, he's not getting too crazy radical. You know, you can't get crazy radical if you're on the right, man, or otherwise you're toast. You know, you get all kinds of insults. So, yeah, moderate is a stupid word to call him. He's not a moderate. He's a rhino. He's the same sort of person as Mitt Romney was. He's the same sort of person that McCain was. He's just another one. And if the Republicans are going to try to shove him down our throats, I'm afraid that's it for me. What do you think, James?
Well, I think he is definitely far from moderate. Well, of course, you know, the term moderate basically means doesn't have an opinion that matters, because they're so wishy-washy and try to please everybody. They don't make a stand on any substantial issue. And, you know, Chris Christie, I mean, I was just looking at his record, and you know, as he was a prosecutor for the Attorney General's office in New Jersey, and he actually did have a rather impressive record in there, in the fact that he had 130 convictions for corruption. Well, that's impressive in everything. You know, that's pretty rare. I mean, but his record as governor and some of the statements he's made and the actions he's done, I mean, how he could be so jovial with President Obama after lambasting him over, you know, the hurricane relief, it just kind of really shows he's really just a bit two-faced. I mean, either you're going to like the guy or you're not going to like the guy. You can't just, you know, be blasted in 1 minute and then the next minute you're practically swapping spit. because they're just, you know, he's just, he you can't make heads or tails out of him. Is he going to be conservative on this one issue? You know, he did lower taxes in New Jersey for everybody making under $400,000, you know, did that by a 10% tax cut, and that's impressive and all, but the way he politics back and forth, just, it, you know, he doesn't seem to make a stand on anything. I mean, how you can do that and be considered a conservative? I mean, my gosh, you know, I've seen, you know, there's been a House member that said they couldn't even stand to look at Obama, and I don't even remember who that was, but if I could look it up right now and find it out, I'd be wanting to vote for that guy because I feel the same way. And, you know, and in his stance on guns, I mean, you know, it's called the Second Amendment, and there's a key phrase in there, shall not be infringed. And that really just soured me on Christie completely, because I'm sorry, you don't mess with the Constitution. You just don't mess with the Constitution, period.
Right.
If you're a true conservative, you're going to conserve the Constitution, period. Whether you irritate people or, you know, that want gun control or not, a true conservative values the Constitution and will guard it above everything else, because it is the foundation of this nation. And anybody that would seek to weaken it with gun control laws is no conservative.
Well, and I do see others, real quick, Sid, I do see that there's other folks who have called in, and a couple that I'd like to chime in. And I do see 414, see there as well. So we'll go ahead with you, Cindy, then we'll bring in 352 and then 414. And for the others who have called in, if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial. And for those who may have just came in to the show, you can call in at 347-945-7428. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, you're allowed to lower taxes. If you want to court the GOP, they're all for lowering taxes. But if you really want to go and be someone like a Newt Gingrich that really wants to shake things up and do real changes and real reforms, if you really want to be pro Second Amendment, if you want to be pro life, you know, if you want to do any of those things, you just better step back, because you're going to get lambasted by the GOP, you know, come primary time, of course. You're okay as long as you stay in your little corner and do your little thing, like Cruz and Rand Paul, you know, they've been kind of doing their thing and more or less being left alone. Yeah, they're getting hit up with some controversy, but basically they've been allowed to do what they've been trying to do.
Well, I would disagree with you on Rand Paul in that one. Really, I just have to disagree with you on that, because Ted Cruz has been attacked left and right by the rhinos, and Rand Paul was straight up, the Republican National Committee straight up said they would not endorse Rand Paul for president in 2016.
Well, that's what I mean. When it comes time for primary time for them to step up and support these guys, no, it ain't going to happen. They're sort of letting them get away with what they're doing right now in the Senate, but because they know that they can't really win in the Senate anyhow. They're in the minority. They're not dangerous.
Okay, I misunderstood you then.
Yeah, when it comes primary time, they won't have anything to do with those two men. Nothing to do with them. You're going to hear about people like Christie.
Right, and you know, the fact that the you know, that Chris Christie's already getting this much attention from the media, yeah, what you said earlier, it's like this is already being set up, you know, as mm-hmm. that's who it's going to be, because why would they be mm-hmm. giving him this much attention already? I mean, we're not even done with 2013 yet.
Right.
But the while they're setting it up, I mean, look how long Romney was winning, and, you know, and Romney was campaigning, and pretty much it came to the point where they, you know, even very early on in the primary, they're already talking about how, you know, Romney had the best chance to beat Obama. And I, you know, as I said earlier, that I've already, you know, seen an article. I was doing some reading tonight that was already stating that they would be the one who'd be best chance to beat Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's the rhino position.
But at this time, I will be opening up some mics here, so cause I'd like to be able to get them in. And 352, your mic is live. How are you?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good.
Good
how
evening
are you?
From the Sunshine State. Just fine.
What? Another Floridian. Your name?
I thought you were going to be Harriet. I thought Harriet was on the phone. 352. You know Cala?
No, I'm in Hernando County.
Okay.
This is Deb.
I'm
with
be in Florida next week.
Woo-hoo. Oh, very good. This is Deb from Nature Coast, Overpass, Chain Beach. Good evening.
Okay, Deb. Thank you, Deb.
It's a great show you've got going on
about
here.
Chris Christie being the GOP, the face of the GOP for 2016.
Yes, indeed. That's an interesting concept, and I believe it's nothing more than a concept. I find it extremely interesting that Mr. Obama did not call and congratulate Christie after their love affair on the boardwalk a couple of times. Don't you find that interesting?
Yeah. So did he call and I guess, congratulate the
not.
Other governors who won, or do we know?
I'm not certain. I know that he did not call Christie, which, you know, seems rather strange to me, number one. Number two, I lived in New Jersey for 20-plus years, my 30s, 40s, and early 50s. With that said, I can tell you that the United States will never accept Chris Christie as president. His demeanor is a dictator. Just even if you watched his speech last night, that is his common demeanor. He talks down to people. He will not. He does give compliments and helps with so many causes in the state. But if you watch him, his every move, he will be more of a dictator than Obama. It won't be as deadly, obviously. And that's
well,
my take
and
on
I'll
that.
Well, I've got an example here. Oh, go ahead. You have it.
Well, I was just going to say, I just don't think that anyone throughout nationwide, other than New Jersey, and those that have lived there and understand the way the entire state is, and that is basically the way it goes. I mean, you say 137, he had 137 prosecutions, James?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 130
okay.
prosecutions as the
okay.
I'm sorry?
As a prosecutor.
Yeah,
no,
as a prosecutor, you're right.
Right. Well, we have to remember with that, he's in New Jersey, so that's really a low number. I mean,
yeah.
Once you live there, I can tell you, you know, that compared to, you know, apples to bananas. That's, you know, I had to laugh when you said that. That was great.
Okay. Well, that puts a little perspective
on it. Thank
you.
I just don't think the USA anywhere. He just won't be accepted.
Well,
I don't think the Christians won't support him because they supported McCain because he was a war hero. They supported Romney because they looked at him as a family man who at least had some morals. But Christie is going to be like the last person that a Christian will ever go out and vote for.
Well, and I think that's a good segue to this audio clip I was going to play that I had here. And while I'll just play it, and you folks tell me what you think, and it's because I think it's a good illustration on how he talks to people and talks down to people. Well, and I see we lost 352. I don't know if you got disconnected, but of course, call back in when you get the I'm going to get a shot, and I'll open up, reopen up your mic. But here's the audio. Oh, there we go. Let me open that the mic back up, and then I'll play the audio clip. And I do see other folks who'd like to chime in, so just push the 1 on your number dial if you'd like to chime in. And for those who just came to the show, call at 347-945-7428. Here is a Chris Christie clip.
Ignorance. Ignorance is behind the criticism of Sahel Muhammad. Sahel Muhammad is an extraordinary American who is an outstanding lawyer and played an integral role in the post-September 11th period in building bridges between the Muslim American community in this state and law enforcement. I was there for it. I saw it personally. And the folks who criticize my appointment to Sahel Muhammad are ignorant. Absolutely ignorant of that, and they're criticizing him because he's a Muslim American and because he represented people who were inappropriately detained by the FBI post 9/11. Now, the fact of the matter is there were lots of people inappropriately detained by the FBI post 9/11. It was a very difficult time for law enforcement, and so Sahel Muhammad represented, as part of his practice at that time, folks who were inappropriately detained. None of them that Sahel Muhammad represented ever were charged with any crimes of terrorism, and they were released because of his diligent and zealous representation of them. In addition to that, he set up for me, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the FBI personally, dozens of meetings with Muslim American leaders across the state to convince them that federal law enforcement could be trusted in the aftermath of September 11th, and that they should be working with us to provide information and leads to help to combat potential terrorist attacks in our state. That's the kind of guy Sahel Muhammad is, and I was proud to nominate him. I was disgusted, candidly, by some of the questions he was asked by both parties at the Senate Judiciary Committee. I thought it was awful. But in the end, the Senate did the right thing because the facts were undeniable that Sahel Muhammad is an outstanding attorney and will be an outstanding judge. And I'm going there to be his swearing-in today because he's someone who merited my support with my nomination of him, and I am confident that he'll be an outstanding judge. Second Muslim American to be put on the bench here in New Jersey. I'm proud to have been able to do that, but not just because he's a Muslim American. I nominated Sahel Muhammad because he's a good lawyer and an outstanding human being. And that's what people get to know about Sahel over his time on the bench. Sharia law has nothing to do with this at all. It's crazy. It's crazy that guy's an American citizen who has been an admitted lawyer to practice in the state of New Jersey, swearing an oath to uphold the laws of New Jersey, the Constitution of the state of New Jersey, and the Constitution of the United States of America, and has never been accused of doing anything but honorably and zealously acquitting the oath he took when he became a lawyer to license the practice in this state. And so this Sharia law business is crap. It's just crazy. And I'm tired of dealing with the crazies. I mean, you know, it's just unnecessary to be accusing this guy of things just because of his religious background. And that's what it's because I've known him personally now for 9 years. And there is nothing to any of this stuff. I'm not going to talk about Sharia law because Sharia law has nothing to do with Sahel Muhammad and his time as a lawyer or his service on the bench in Passaic County, which I know will be long and honorable, and the people of Passaic County, the people of the state will benefit from it. I'm happy that he's willing to serve after all this baloney.
Okay, Deb, what do you think? Let's get your comments on that, and then we'll go over to you, Cindy, and then James, and then we will be opening up 414's mic, and then it looks like after that it will be 281 and then 717. So I see folks looking to chime in, and I will be opening up the mics, and we do keep them on here in our roundtable discussions here on Bard's Logic. So, Deb, why don't you tell us what you thought about that clip? And
well, I would start with saying that Obama swore all those oaths as well. So, and how long was he? He was an attorney. He was a senator. And he was a community organizer for how many years before he showed his true colors?
Good
so that,
point,
you know, Chrissy's
girl.
Line right there, yeah, well, Chrissy's line right there is completely wrong, and I would be more than happy to tell him to his face. Jersey can get some Jersey. And I just hope, you know, that we're able to, I think we're just going to nix this one. I truly don't believe that it's genuine. I think it's another dog and pony show, especially with his direct conversation last night directed at Obama on his at his acceptance speech, and then for Obama not to call and congratulate him on his win. I mean, that's very telling on two areas, something of which we never would have expected. Or I wouldn't have expected, let me put it that way. And I've watched things rather closely.
Well,
and,
obviously he's not gonna do anything right away anyway, right? I mean, he's gonna wait until it's time to do what he's there for. He's a sleeper. That's what sleepers do. They do what they're supposed to do until it's the time, and then bang, boom.
You mean Chrissy the judge?
No, the judge. The judge.
Right. Absolutely. It takes them decades to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's like that statement of his, you know, it's just a bogus statement. And to even bring the idea of Sharia law to the United States of America and have respect for it in this country is, it's blasphemy to the United States. So that's my opinion of Mr. Christie. I met him at the Republican National Convention last year. I was there for 4 days in Tampa. Christie was there to speak. I was impressed. And then he returned to New Jersey. They flew the Muslim flag over the courthouse in Paterson, New Jersey. And then he promoted this judge to the state. And I knew right then and there that was it. No more Christie. That's it.
Debbie, why do you suppose they're promoting these Muslims right here in our own country? Why do you suppose they're doing that?
Why do I suppose they are?
Yeah, why are they supporting Muslims all over there? I mean, just today,
well,
just yesterday.
It's the belief that they agree with.
I think they agree with it. I think they're just appeasing them, thinking that that's how they're going to stay out of trouble and they're not going to have as many terrorist attacks if they appease them and try
dangerous.
To make them think that, there is no appeasing them. So, you know, it's not going to be a successful strategy if that's what their strategy is. But sometimes I just don't get it.
If we understood this mess, we'd be in deep trouble.
Yeah,
then we'd be pathological and psychotic as they are. So hopefully
you're right.
We don't understand it. We just get rid of it. Gotta go.
You're right.
And Deb brought up, you know, how you met him at the convention. Back in 2012. So I think that'll be a good segue to an article I have here given to me by Mark Willis, and of course for a lot of folks who've listened to the show before know that he ran against Rince Priebus for the chairmanship of the GOP, or the RNC, I should say. Unfortunately, unsuccessful, but I wouldn't say that's anything taking away from Mr. Willis. I think there was just a lot of pressure brought to bear, you know, on the people who otherwise, I believe, would have voted for him. And it's not just him, it's just a lot of Republicans in Maine, to my understanding, left the party. And so I was given this this article, which I'd like to take this time to read as a set. I think that was a good segue. And I think this is important to note because I think this is what things could be being shown as things are getting set up again for 2016 in the way that they were set up for Romney in 2012, and I certainly would like to see that not happen, because we know what what the result was from Romney being set up as the nominee in 2012 and where we're at because of that. So the article is last week, and this was back in August. So it says, last week, 13 Republicans, myself included, sent a letter to the secretary of the Maine Republican Party explaining why some of us were not just resigning from our positions, but leaving the party altogether. In our letter, we cited numerous issues at the federal and state levels that we can no longer support nor defend, stating, we can no longer associate ourselves with a political party that goes out of its way to continually restrict our freedoms and liberties, as well as reaching deeper and deeper into our wallets. However, in my case, as the former national committeeman from Maine Republican Party and member of the Republican National Committee, there was another issue that tipped my scale in favor of walking away completely from the GOP. To explain, I'll use a sports analogy. It says, what if there are two football teams, you being on the underdog team versus the likely favorite in a big game that would decide who would attend a national convention and who would elect the head of your football league? In this case, both teams brought their best game, played by the rules, and in the end, your team won fair and square. Let's say furthermore, the favorites, upset that they lost, appealed your victory to the football league. And let's say that the football league, who favored the favorite team all along, decided without any valid evidence it could not determine who won or lost and therefore rewarded each team with a tie. Now let's say you and your teammates, discouraged but not defeated, traveled to the national convention where your candidate, under the rules of the football league, had the requisite support of five teams to at least be on the ballot and speak on his behalf for the position of league president. Then let's say a lawyer for the candidate of the favorite team had the rules changed so that your candidate now needed eight teams to be on the ballot, and then had those rules pushed through and adopted in violation of the convention rules, over the objections of you and half the convention that should have been heard. That is what happened to the Ron Paul supporters at the hand of the Romney campaign at the end of 2012 Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. The bottom line is that blatant breaking, bending, and flat-out ignoring of your own rules is the type of behavior we have come to expect from the Democratic Party, as they are no longer the party of JFK and have been shifting to the hard left for decades. However, one would expect better from the RNC if you are to believe in the words of the preamble of the RNC rules, which state, be it resolved that the Republican Party is the party of the open door. Ours is the party of liberty, the party of equality, and someone's got a door in the background squeaking. If they can mute their mic while that's doing that, I'd appreciate it. The party of equality, of opportunity for all, and favoritism for none. In the aftermath of Tampa, grassroots activists and I fought to rescind these rules at the RNC winter and summer meetings, but our resolutions to do so fell on deaf ears. All windows to achieve this act of good faith to the underdogs of the Republican Party have closed forever. The RNC rules, as they stand, were written by and for the favorite team. And of course, we're referring to the establishment and the rhinos of the party. Back to the article. To continue on in my position as National Committeeman of Maine Republican Party would lend credibility and legitimacy to these invalid rules. Furthermore, I would have been expected to spend the next 3 years preparing for the 2016 primary, ultimately watching and knowing that the underdog team would fall short yet again. Echoes of 2008 and 2012. In the end, I say, let this op-ed serve as a dire warning to the underdog teams of the Republican Party across our nation who still believe a grassroots candidate secure the nomination of 2016. Even after the debacle of the Romney campaign, the fix is in for the favorite team in 2016. And there's nothing that the Republican voters or activists can do to stop it. I would rather, therefore, relinquish my position of the highest levels of a political party and carry on with a heavy and burdened conscience, knowing that no matter how talented and skilled the underdog stands no chance. Moving forward, I would encourage everyone to look at independentmaine.org, where people can learn more about how to encourage and support independent candidates within the state of Maine outside of the two-party system. And that dire warning, I think, is very relevant tonight. And thank you very much, Mark, for sending me that article for the audience tonight. And that dire warning is definitely showing us what could be even now being in play with how they're touting Chris Christie for 2016, setting things up even now before we even get to the midterms elections here in 2014. And with that for people to gnaw on, I will bring in area code 414, and so we will have you chime in, and then we'll move over to you, James, because we haven't heard from you for a bit, and then we'll go to Cindy, and then Deb, and then I believe the next person to be called in for bringing on the line will be 717. So at this time, I'll open up 414. Thank you very much for coming to the show. How are you? And area code 218 or 281, I see you on the line as well, and we'll be getting you onto the show. We've got plenty of time here. So thank you very much, 414. Where are you from? And give us your name. Thank you very much. Yes, 414, I got your mic on. Okay, perhaps they had to step away. And at this point, I'll bring it back in. Paul, we'll get you on 717. Thank you very much. If you could, for coming to the show, tell us where you're hailing from and your name, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, 717.
Great, thanks, guys. Rob Civic, I'm actually the New Jersey state leader for overpasses for Obama's impeachment. How you doing this evening?
Well, we are doing well. How about you?
Doing pretty good. I've been listening about everybody's opinion of Christie.
Well, what's yours?
My opinion is he's a total sham. If Chris Christie was to become president of the United States of America, we'd have to redefine the term big government. But, no, the reason he won by the landslide that he did is the opponent that he ran against, she makes Obama look like a moderate. She was just, from everything that I heard about her, she was just, like, so far to the left that it was just ridiculous. And, you know, Sandy's also still fresh in everybody's mind and all of that stuff. I mean, there's still people in New Jersey that are homeless. There's still people that are homeless. There's still people that are waiting on funding. You know, everybody thinks, you know, oh, you know, the beaches got rebuilt and all of that stuff. All the money makers got rebuilt is basically what happened. They got rebuilt. The boardwalk got rebuilt, but then it burned down. I really don't see him having a shot. And I honestly don't think the Republican Party is going to go for him either. I mean, I think the Democrats are hoping that's going to happen, but I really don't think the Republican Party is going to nominate him. I think they're going to go with Paul Ryan before they go with Christie.
Wow. That kind of surprised me. But you think that Paul, okay, I'm getting Rand Paul and Paul Ryan mixed up. I'm sorry, you're right. Never mind.
No,
yeah, I can probably think of that.
See, I do that too.
Cindy, I get those two mixed up too.
Their names are flip-flopped, you know. Anyway. Well, you know,
I think that we got to be careful that we're not being played here, because it might be that they're trying to get Chris Christie to make Rubio and Paul Ryan look good, you know, so that maybe we're going to, okay, we're not going to get Christie. Oh, all right, I'll take Rubio. Anything you say, just don't give me Christie.
Oh, Rubio, help out there, Rubio, now, or whatever.
Well, that's the way they think, though. That's the way they think, because that's what they did with us with Romney. They played us saying, oh, anybody's better than Obama. Remember the big campaign thing? Anybody but Obama, you know? The whole Republican Party was putting that slogan out. Anybody but Obama.
For the record, when the primaries were going, I was saying anybody but Romney. Unfortunately, that was the choice we had, and as bad as a choice it would be, if given a choice between Hillary Clinton and Chris Christie, well, there is no contest. I would have to vote for Chris Christie, because there is no way, no how, I would vote for, what difference at this point does it make, Hillary Clinton.
Well, I totally... Is like Hillary Clinton without makeup, right?
That's
a horrifying thought.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did that. I mean, the last election, I wanted Ron Paul so bad. So I wanted Ron Paul for president so bad, and I got to the voting booth, and I'm like, as soon as I walked into the voting booth, I had flashbacks of what happened with Ross Perot. I don't know if you folks remember that election or not, but if Perot wasn't involved.
The first time he ran or second?
Yes.
When Clinton won. When Clinton won.
Okay.
That was when I voted for Ross Perot. And had the Ross Perot vote not existed, President Bush would have gotten a second term, but he didn't. So
That's no great loss either.
Excuse me?
I said that's no great loss either.
Yeah, we're in a sad, sad political state throughout the country. We no longer have politicians that are looking out for the people. We have politicians that are looking out for campaign dollars and trying to figure out how they can make the money. I mean, it was almost over $2 billion were spent between Romney and Obama on a presidential campaign for a job that pays $500,000 a year. You can't tell me there isn't corruption in the system.
Mm-hmm.
$2.1 billion spent running for a job that pays $500,000 a year.
Right.
I was given to me from Harriet. And thank you very much, Harriet, for sending that to me. I just want to put this in here. Where did I put it? Let's talk about, I just had it. See, now I was clicking between different spots. There we go. It says here that it was reported that Chris Christie refused to campaign for Cuccinelli when asked by senior conservative Republicans. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie declined an invitation to go to Virginia and campaign on behalf of Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Cuccinelli, according to Chuck Todd. Citing an unnamed Republican source, Todd said on air Tuesday night that some senior conservative Republicans asked Christie to campaign for Cuccinelli, but the reelected New Jersey governor passed. It says, fresh off the landslide victory, Tuesday, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie told the New York Times that he intends to go to places like Ohio and Michigan and Florida, all of which have GOP governors facing re-election next year. According to the Times, Christie informed Republicans in South Carolina he intends to go to bat for Graham, who is facing a GOP primary next year. Well, he can stay out of Ohio if he's planning on coming for Ohio, especially if he's going to be touting for Kasich, but I'm not really happy with our governor here in Ohio either, even though he has an R in the in front or back or whatever of his name. But thank you very much, Harriet. I just want to throw that out there for the folks, which doesn't surprise me because it looks like he's willing to, you know, go out and, you know, and campaign for the moderates of the public of the party, but not so for the conservatives.
Says it all.
Yeah, that does. It says it all right there. Now, I was curious, the Graham you mentioned, was that Lindsey Graham? Because he is up for re-election. Yeah, anybody that would support Lindsey Graham, would support Lindsey Graham could never be president.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, what bothers me about the last, you know, I'm 46 years old, and the last president I couldn't vote for was Reagan. I was just a hair too young. And what bothers me about every single presidential election that has happened is it has been simply
real quick, James, I'm getting some reverb or some feedback or something on someone's mic. So if somebody has their speakers on, if they can either mute their phone or turn the speakers down, because it sounds like we got some feedback or something coming through. So I appreciate whoever's
that
got
happens.
That. Can,
that happens if you don't mute yourself and you put yourself on speaker.
Okay. Go ahead, James.
Well, what I was saying was the every election that I have been able to vote for or vote in since I turned 18 years old, it has simply been a choice of the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice just once to actually have a legitimate candidate where you can, where you don't have to look at them and go, I really can't stand this guy, but look at the other guy. You know, when would there actually be an American icon, you know, that can run for president that people could have a clear choice on? I mean, Romney was a perfect example of that. In the fact that, you know, 40 million Republicans sat at home and didn't vote for him because they, you know, because they couldn't believe in it. And it's just, I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, we have got to, well, and we can blame Karl Rove and the Republican National Committee for that, because they've had people running in the primaries that would have been a very clear, decisive candidate, and they consistently, time and time again, pick this wishy-washy person that's got flavors of leftist and it's just this tiny little bit of conservatism in there, so they can tout them as a conservative when anybody that understands anything knows that that is not the case. And you know, win or lose, it would be nice to see an actual constitutional conservative run for the office of the president. Just once in my life would be a blessing, because if I saw one actually out there doing that, I would be hitting the streets and knocking on doors to help get that guy elected, because that's what this country needs. And people like Chris Christie, you know, and Paul Ryan, and Marco Rubio, I mean, please, I'm not voting for anybody that supports amnesty to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just aren't quite clearly a constitutional conservative, they're never going to get my full support. The only reason I will ever vote for them is just like I did with Romney, and it's simply because it was the lesser of two evils, and America deserves better than that. We deserve better than that. We deserve a clear choice, somebody that you know where they stand. And, you know, we've got 3 years, and here's we're rolling down to 2 years now here very shortly. And here's hoping that that's what we get, is a clear, concise person that stands on principles, whether they have flaws or not.
Well, I think what you're looking at is the strategy of the progressives, and I call them progressives because they could be on the D side or they could be in the R side, but they are progressives one way or the other that you want to look at it, and it's a strategy of theirs, I believe, to work us incrementally towards the socialist agenda, and there's a little argument going on between the elite Republicans and the elite Democrats as to how to go about the end result. But basically what they're doing is allowing these incremental changes. We get a little bit of socialism with each of the presidents that comes along. It was fast-tracked with Obama. But if Romney had gotten in, it still would have continued to chug right along down the track of incrementally moving us towards socialism. It's only because Obama got in that it went fast-tracked. If a Republican does, for some strange reason, is able to get into the presidency, life will continue on just like it was, and I don't believe that we would have gotten rid of Obamacare even if Mitt Romney had been president, because it's his baby, and I don't think he would have gotten rid of his baby. And we know from the article that we saw on Newsmax, I think it was, I'm not sure which one it was, but anyway, McConnell and Corker had both said, there's no way we're going to repeal Obamacare. We don't have any intention. And they're like, don't worry about these silly conservatives lifting up their flags and waving in Tea Party tea baggers, you know, all that. Don't worry about them because you don't have to worry. We got it all under control. We're not going to let anything happen to Obamacare. I mean, they said that themselves. Those were our Republican guys in the Senate. So it would have continued on just like it is, no matter who was in the presidency.
No matter who it was between Obama and Romney. But I would like to get a comment on that from 281. So here's what they're doing, because they've been on the line hold for a time to be on. And then 414, I do have your mic open. I don't know if you're having some difficulties there. But we're going to go ahead and bring in 281, and then we're going to go to you, Rob, and then 414, if you'd like to chime in. Your mic is open. And so 281, where are you calling from, and how are you?
Good. This is Christian Peters.
Hello, Christian. How are you?
I'm calling from
the place you're calling from.
Houston, Texas. Hold on a second. I'm going to – okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You said it's Peter?
Yeah, Christian Peters is my name,
okay.
And I'm from Houston,
okay,
Texas.
Christian.
And we have – what's that?
I just said thank you for coming to the show.
Oh, well, thank you for hosting me. And I'm part of the Clear Lake the Clear Lake – overpasses here in Houston, and I agree with what was just said about having to pick the lesser of two evils, and I think that no matter who we pick, like she said, that the Obamacare would not have been repealed, and so on and so forth. There's many issues we have here. First of all, We have an issue with, I believe, that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. I don't know what you guys have to think about that, but if we can't separate money and politics, we will never, ever get our representatives, our Congress, to listen to us.
You're right.
And there's many, we need a more transparent we need more transparent government as far as Congress and who is actually paying our representatives. Where's all their money coming from? Why are they so why are they doing what they're doing? I just can't wrap my mind around it. And like Thomas Jefferson said, he believed that the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. And I agree. It's horrible. And we have let's see, who was it? It was said, I think it was James Madison. He said that if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the disguise of fighting a foreign enemy. We have been over in the Middle East fighting a foreign enemy way before 9/11 even happened. We have been over there forever after Vietnam, after the Cold War. I believe we got this mentality that we're the most powerful military force on the planet, which I do believe we are. I'm come from a Navy family all the way back, way back ancestors, and we have a great pride in our military. But the fact that we have to be the world's police and doing all this stuff, and it's a waste of our money, and it's gonna hurt our future generations. We all know that. We're all patriots on here. We know that. And I agree with what was said earlier. Once again, we just want a patriotic American, somebody who's going to stand up for us and run for presidency, a legitimate president, a legitimate candidate. And I think it's very important. And I think if something doesn't happen at least by 2016, and I would like to see something happen after the next elections, after the next representative elections. I think after November, if something doesn't happen, I think the people, we the people, the patriots, are going to have to come together and take matters and take the law in our own hands and restore law and order, to be honest. That's what I think, personally. Because at this point, I don't see any representative, Democrat or Republican, fighting. Just nobody has that fire in their eyes. Nobody has that fire right now to just do what is right and stick to our principles. Principles has to be like a stone. We have to stick to our principles of this country, and that's how we maintain our liberty. And we are not sticking to our principles at all. And I think, even if we were to vote for Romney, who was, a capitalist at heart kind of person and a family man, like you said, I still don't believe that just the way he spoke and the way he represented himself, I don't believe that he had what it took, I don't believe that he had what was needed in order to get done what needed to be done, which is a lot. We have a serious issue on our hands. We are $17 trillion in debt. That's just the federal level. That's not even the whole country as a whole. As a whole country, we're over $60 trillion of state, local, and private debt. That's insane. Wow. Amount of money. I mean, that's a mathematical fact. We have an issue, and I think if our representatives, quote unquote, don't step up and take action and listen to the people instead of listening to what I think these banking institutions and these large corporations, and it's turning into tyranny. And it's already has turned into tyranny. It's been a long, slow, gradual process, to down the road of socialism, of course, and nothing has been done ever. I mean, it's not good. It's not looking good. And we got this. I wanted to touch base. You guys were talking about Shira Law and some religious points. I do believe that religion plays a huge role in what is happening. I mean, we are in a what I think a religious war in the Middle East. I mean, with no doubt. It's not about mainly money and oil and wealth, and you know, obviously that plays a role, I think, but the fact that we are not making these countries pay for being there to help them, in any sort of form, you know, we're just throwing money at it like it's going out of style, and it's not good. It's got to be put to an end. And I think we need to bring our troops home, and we need to stop the world rule kind of world police kind of mentality, and we just need to put it all to an end and fix our shit. We need to get our shit together, and that's the bottom line. And I don't think any politician, any representative you vote for, any president you vote for, anybody you vote for, they will not be the person to get it done. The only people who will get done what needs to be done right now in our current state is the patriots across America. We have to band together. That is the only way we will be able to save our country. We will not be able to rely off these politicians. We've been trying to rely off them for too long. And the only way we will fix this country is if we come together as one and unite. That's why we are called the United States of America. And I don't think anybody you vote for, 2016, it doesn't matter if it's Hillary, it doesn't matter if it's Chris Christie, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's Ron Paul, it doesn't matter who it is. They will not fix what needs to be fixed, I think. I think at this point, we are in so much trouble that the only people who will be able to stop the tyranny and put everything to an end and get done what needs to get done is us, we, the people who built this country. And until we come together as one, we won't work. Where. So that's why I have to think, that's what I have to say about that.
Very well said. Right. Very well said about we the people. So, what do you? Would you like to add anything in on real quick? So, I want to bring Rob back in and see if he wants to add anything onto that. If you've ever heard from him for a bit.
I agree with what he just said 150%, 1,000%. I don't even know how to put it, because we've come to such an apathy in this country regarding politics, regarding pretty much regarding anything, you know, that has anything to do with politics or anything political. Nobody cares unless it's affecting them. Nobody cares unless, you know, it's directly affecting them in some way, shape, or form. And if it is, until it does, unfortunately, nobody's going to do anything about anything. So we just got to keep on keeping on doing the best we can. And,
I agree. I mean, you know, I'm only 19 years old, so I can't run for president or anything, but I mean, I go to these rallies and I go to the city hall and, you know, I vote. Texas, we still have our Second Amendment right. We still have our First Amendment right. And no city has...
Unfortunately, don't know for how long though. That's the whole problem.
That's our point. We need our Constitution is the people's checks and balances system. We need to use our Bill of Rights and we have every right to overthrow the government. We have every right to a well regulated militia. I think a well-regulated militia is composed of the body of the people, trained in arms, is the best and most natural defense of a free country. If you don't have a militia, you do not have a free country. And I think eventually, and I'm actually in the process of joining the Texas militia here, in fact, because, I mean, I'm going to school and working full-time, so I can't join the Navy or anything, obviously, but I am joining the militia and, you know, using every right I have. We have to use every right we have as of right now until we get so pissed off that we're going to have to take matters in our own hand. We have every right to. It's our country, and it's our right to, and I think we're going to have to eventually because I don't think that whoever you vote for, once again, I said it, whoever you vote for, I don't think that they will get done what needs to get done. There's so much tyranny, so much, it's just not good. It's a bastardized government, in my opinion. And
I completely agree with you. It's gotten way out of hand, unfortunately, and because it's gotten way out of hand, it's hard to rein in at this point. And it's very, very hard to get past people's apathies because so many people are apathetic to what's going on that it's like, you know, who cares? Well, what do you mean, who cares? You got to care. But like I said, until it starts affecting people, like, in their pockets, I mean, this thing that's going on with Obamacare, I wish the Republicans would just shut up about it and just let it happen. Because if they do that, then it's just going to be it's going to be chaos because people are going to have to foot a big bill. And if they were just to shut up about it and leave it alone and just sit there and say, hey, we told you so, we ain't telling you again. And if we did that it would actually help our cause versus, you know, hurt our cause because now we're just, you know, tooting our own horns and it's like, just shut up about it.
I totally
agree with everything you said.
I mean,
it's very refreshing to hear you.
Go ahead.
Real quick, you know, I'm going to have Cindy and Deb chime in.
I just want to say it's very refreshing, sir, young man from Texas. Thank you very much. Your attitude and your the depths that you have taken to understand what is happening, this didn't just fly by you and you grabbed it. You're obviously called to this. And you're very impressive, extremely. Thank you. And I hope you have friends your age of the same mindset that are working with you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I'm originally from Ohio, and I just moved down here last year. So,
Where in Ohio?
Toledo area. Well, actually, a little town called Genoa, about 20, 30 minutes out of Toledo, and
we have some really good things going for us. The bikers, 2 million bikers, and various other groups will be in Washington, D.C. on November 19th. I'm sure you're all aware of that, right?
Yeah, I think, excuse me, yeah, I was just sent an article as well, I think, from Harriet sent me. It says, let me get back, I don't know if it's about the bikers. And it says, you're invited to help reclaim America. It says, a nationwide call is going out to Americans, yep, this is it, I believe, to occupy Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, November 19th, and Lafayette Park, right across from the People's House. It says, Barack Hussein Obama has driven our country into the ground, and the political opposition has allowed this to happen. The nation is on the verge of economic, social, and strategic, which I think that's very important to point out, collapse as the people's grievances are continually being ignored. You can go to www.reclaimamericanow.net to read today's agenda and the list of speakers who have been persecuted by Obama's regime. Here are just some of those you'll hear from. Victims of Benghazi, especially the widows and parents, of the four murdered Americans, Fast and Furious victims, two vets who will gather to hear Clayton's speech in front of their memorial, which was closed to them for an unbelievable 17 days, and NSA victims of the Obama regime's out-of-control spy apparatus. And the article continues, but if you have any more information you'd like to share with us on that, Deb, I'll leave that to you.
Okay, yes, there are various speakers. Benjamin Smith, former Navy SEAL, will be there. Lynn B., who is the director now of 2 Million Vipers to D.C. That was for the 9/11 memorial, which turned into a disaster, but they pulled it off wonderfully. And that has now spread state to state, like overpasses to Oak Beach. They've got close to 300,000 members on the, just on the Facebook page alone. And they're organizing each state with leaders, and then we're going to, through every state, we're going to have various leaders in different regions. So that's going to be a tremendous help with overpasses to impeach Obama. Also, Gun Rights Across America, I'm sure you're all familiar with that. That began, that's the founder, Eric Reed, in Texas. That was a great, tremendous event last January 19th. Every state held a rally. Every state, and it was just amazing. Golf. So after that, then James came on with the overpasses, and now the 2 million bikers, and it's just growing. And these are large groups. These are not just the little, you know, individuals that are not organized. So it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. So it's happening.
And real quick, folks, I do want to give. Person who was on 414 an opportunity to chime in. I know we tried to do it earlier, but I don't know if there was some kind of technical problems there. But 414, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. If you could share where you're from and then give the audience your name, we'll go on.
Well, I'm Rob Haynes, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. I'm also a state leader and national admin for Overpasses for America. And what we're having here is a war in the Republican Party between the elitist establishment rhinos against the conservatives, libertarians, and Tea Party. And we are fighting for the very soul of the Republican Party. I'm thinking that we the people need to unite and put our differences to the side and actually take over the Republican Party to save America and stop Obama any way we can. Prime example, don't want to get off topic, but look what happened in Virginia.
Yeah. You know, well, no, we certainly
the establishment wanted to be pulled away from the election and left them hanging and threw them under the bus. And we had a very good shot of winning Virginia last night.
Yeah, and
I'm not a big fan of Chris Christie.
Good to hear.
Well, and that brings me to another article here. It's from Breitbart.com. It says, look in the mirror, GOP establishment. You chose poorly. The Virginia governor's race ended up being a photo finish, even though Kenny Cuccinelli was largely left to fend for himself by the elitists in the Republican establishment in Battleground, Virginia. Where were the American Crossroads and other well-funded outside groups? Where was the Republican National Committee? Where were all the wealthy donors who supported Mitt Romney and Bob McConnell? Where were all the hands-on-decks approach for an election as crucial as this one? And the article continues on, and we can get back to it, but I just wanted to bring it up. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello?
Yeah, Ron, go ahead.
Yes.
You were talking more about Virginia. I just want to emphasize your point by reading the title, a little bit of that article. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the writing's on the wall, and establishment, the GOP, made their choice yesterday and backed away from the candidate that had a very solid chance of winning Virginia. And we are fighting for the very soul of the Republican Party and return it to the conservative roots that it's supposed to be. And I'm afraid if we don't, we can't go a third party because it's going to give the victory to the Democrats every time. I'm in the opinion that we need to take over the Republican Party so we can save America and stop the tyranny coming from our federal government and restore our constitutional republic.
Have any of you heard of the Americans for Prosperity?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's going to roll out this week. And all it is a redesigned measure of the Republican Party GOP. I've been working with a couple of people here in Florida on this, and I talked to one of the second-in-command at the headquarters over in Palm Beach, and all they're doing is redesigning the Republican executive committees throughout the state, and that is a national program that's rolling out next week. They're doing all the trainings and this and that. They say they're not candidate-affiliated, and they're going to include the Tea Parties and the 9/12 groups in this. I was very disturbed today because I was speaking with the vice chairman of our Republican Executive Committee, and under the impression that they're only having these meetings within the Republican parties throughout the country, and excluding the Tea Party, they put us under fire yesterday. The Republicans.
I'm not sure I'm understanding what your point is. Would you please be a little more detailed on that? Give us more.
My
a little
point
more information.
Is that I believe the GOP has redesigned a program, and it's Americans for Prosperity. They are calling it, saying that they're not affiliated with a party. However, they are targeting the Republican clubs specifically, and then underlying sublanes of such as the Tea Party and 9/12 groups. Now, that's Glenn Beck and Tea Party, and obviously that they don't align with establishment Republican Party.
So you're saying that Americans for Prosperity is a GOP elite attempt at grabbing support away from the Tea Partiers and the 9/12s and all those people?
An attempt to incorporate the Tea Party in 9/12? I believe that is the case, yes. My humble opinion. It could be far more extensive and far more, you know, of a greater magnitude in a positive manner, but I am doubting it 100%. I spoke with three or four people.
What exactly have they done to, because I'm from Florida, too. I'm over here in Pearson, which is only, well, I can't be that far away from you anyway. Our Republican Executive Committee president is a very conservative guy. He was a Newt Gingrich man, and he was the spearhead of getting rid of the rhinos that were running our party here in Volusia County. And so he's been a very conservative person, and I haven't heard him say anything about our party being reworked by Americans for Prosperity or anybody else. What exactly is going on there?
Well, that's my take on it. As of what I have, in the past week, I've spoken with several people. Today, three of the hierarchy of this, the rollout that's coming out of Palm Beach, and then this has been going on for about a month that they've been organizing to get this together. I don't know. I'm asking it. Does anyone else have a take on
this?
I'm not really comfortable with it.
I'd be suspicious of anything that was rolling out of Palm Beach County, because Palm Beach County
right.
is the rhino capital of Florida. So
Well, this is national.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, So every state can look forward to this next week, and if it, you know, it's going to affect, as I said, Republicans that are within the RECs and or Republican clubs within your counties and state, and they said they will they plan to incorporate the Tea Party in 912. I think that's just to appease us and attempt to get us into the Republican Party, which is a good thing if they do it properly. And they're not attempting to pull the wool over our eyes again.
Well, for what it's worth, prior to starting overpasses, one of my favorite things to do on Facebook was to go around and do a little troll hunting or poke the troll, as I'd like to call it. And one of the easiest places to go do that was actually on the Americans for Prosperity page, because they would come there in droves to attempt to punch holes in the articles and whatnot that the Americans for Prosperity posted. From my experience, at least with their Facebook page, they were a very highly conservative, movement on there. They were, you know, proponents of low taxes, small government, and you know, privatization of government programs instead of having government run them. Now, granted, you know, this is just a Facebook page, but from all appearances that I've seen from AFP is that they never really shied away from, you know, conservative American views, and really that was probably the meat of the people that were on there defending what they were doing. Now, I would like to think, you know, in a perfect world that they were could possibly be the you know, the group of people that recognizes that the Tea Party groups and, you know, constitutional conservatives out there are actually, you know, necessary for American politics and for this country. And so, you know, again, it's just one of those things where you have to watch and see. But based on my experience with them, I mean, they're constantly under attack by the left. And I would have to think that there was a reason for that, and that would be because they oppose the left. And you know, it could be an elaborate ruse to marginalize, you know, the conservatives of America. But based on what evidence I've seen from them, they've got a huge following, and we can always hope that they are the alternative to the Republican establishment. Obviously, we know, you know, because of overpasses, because of the bikers, because of the truckers, because of 912 and all the other groups out there, that not all people that vote Republican are establishment Republicans. And, I don't think it's impossible to say that there could finally be a group out there that's developed the formula towards including all the values of actual Americans that actually love this country. It would be disappointing after my experience with America's Prosperity that they turned out to be simply nothing but an establishment Republican, you know, rhino, marginalization program as far as conservatives go. Well, we can hope they actually embrace some of those values. And based on what I've seen on their Facebook page, it's as good a shot as any, you know, but I don't know anything about Palm Beach. You guys know that better, but here's to hoping maybe they went there simply because that's where the rhinos were, trying to swing them around, you know. I don't know. I'm an eternal optimist. I believe in the spirit of the American people, and sometimes you just have to dive right into the heart of the enemy just to, heart of enemy territory just to make a difference, because that's where you can make the biggest immediate impact.
Indeed.
So that's good. You're intuitive.
I do want to bring Christian back into the conversation, so let's ask if Christy'd like to make any additions to the conversation here, and then we'll bring it back over to you, Deb. So go ahead, Christian.
Sorry, I was watching. Hello?
Yeah, your mic is live.
Okay. Yeah, I missed what was said earlier, so I don't have any comments to add. I just heard. So you can move on.
Multitasking.
I'll be on. You can ask me whenever. I don't have anything to add. I wasn't paying attention, so.
No, okay.
Well, I have something to say to you, Christian. Can I have a word with you?
Absolutely.
First of all, you're doing the right thing by getting involved locally because this is where you as a 19-year-old can have your voice heard. And this will get you started and get you trained for when you can participate in the national and farther-reaching campaigns. But yes, we absolutely do have the right to do something about our situation. In fact, a long time ago, there were some men that wrote something that really pertains to that, and I'll read it for you. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely and affect their safety and happiness. Okay?
Sounds like the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, you're right.
And
beautiful words.
Yes, they are. I think it's a principle that people miss. I mean, you have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, and I think they work together very well, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I think if our education in this country was a lot better, we all know our education isn't very well in this country. I think if it was better and obviously, knowledge is power, and once you allow the government to, I think that the government's next step would eventually be to control education, and because the prices are once again getting out of control, that's going to be their excuse to kind of step in and say, well, we got all these issues, with student loans on kids and. Just like the health care, people can't get health care, making it as almost it's a inalienable, natural, God-given right that you should, that is a God-given right to have funds for college and funds for health care. Our God-given rights are in the Constitution, and those are the law of the land and the supreme law of the land and the highest authority in this country. And we've lost those principles, and I think if our education was better in this country, that would be an issue. Another issue that would have to be solved because, a better educated population we wouldn't have these problems.
Well, that's what Common Core is about, And you can fight against that in your local town is to fight against Common Core. Just tonight.
Right.
I walked in the room when my husband was listening to Fox, and they were talking about some of the things that Common Core is writing about our Constitution and about the job of the president. Oh, my gosh. Wait till you see it. I'm going to look for it and see if I can get it posted on here while you guys are talking.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, you can post it on this, the link here.
And you talk, and you talk about Pensacola, reminds me of a quote that Father's Day last year, it was actually shortly after I started the show, the first Father's Day after I started the show, and my daughter gave me one of these, like, drink holders for Father's Day, and it had a quote on it that talks about principles. It's by George William Curtis, and his quote is, "A man's country is not a certain area of land, of mountains, rivers, and woods, but it is a principle, and patriotism is loyalty to that principle." And as I said, that was from George William Curtis, and he was one of the founders of the Republican Party. And one of the things he's known for is actually leaving the party out of his discontent from one of the chosen nominees to run for president of the Republican Party.
Yeah, the there's also another quote I like, too. It's a patriot's duty to protect his country and his people from a tyrannical government. I forget exactly who said that. I don't know if any of you know. But, if you look at these quotes and and the wisdom of our founders, it's almost like they knew what they were talking about.
Well, and they knew what was coming down the pike, too. They knew that we were going to have to face that. They were very wise men.
Very.
I'm still looking.
You still looking?
Well, thank you for the positive input, James, on America.
Did you mention about something about James? But here's another thing you're talking about. Kind of a warning. This spring kind of brings it back to the Chris Christie. We'll get people's thoughts on this. This is it's kind of funny, but it's actually from the Business Insider. It says how Chris Christie fools liberals into attacking him for being too conservative. It says if Chris Christie wants to win the presidency in 2016, he needs to look conservative enough to be the Republican nominee and moderate enough to be president. I always thought that was BS. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But, it's like the notion that only a moderate Republican can win, can become president is ludicrous. I mean, just look at history. I mean, there has not been a moderate Republican to win a general election in almost 40 years. Why do they keep touting that you need to be a moderate enough to be president? I mean, Ronald Reagan, he wasn't moderate. Bush, when he campaigned the first time, was a compassionate conservative. I'll go back to the article. It says, he's successfully executing one part of the strategy to do this, convincing liberal commentators that he's an unreconstructed conservative, giving too much credit for moderation. When he draws their fire, he convinces conservatives that he's one of them. I don't know. I'm not convinced. It says, for example, in the New York Magazine cover story on Chris Christie this week, Benjamin Wallace Wells wrote that Chris Christie holds conventional conservative positions on many issues, such as being opposed to government programs for the poor. Okay. So that sort of description helps Christie's standing with conservatives, but it's not accurate. Christie actually takes quite a generous view on programs for the poor. Check out the and that kind of pisses me off, folks. I normally don't use that kind of language here, but I'm sick and tired of, the liberal business out, insiders, but it sounds liberal enough, trying to put it as if, conservatives or Republicans maybe, but, conservatives are not in any way interested in helping the poor. We're not out to giving handouts, but we like to, conservatives like to give, hands up to help people out. But the notion that, we don't care about, poor folks is just ridiculous. No, we don't care for people who aren't willing to work for what they, you know, for what they need. But I'm just going to leave that article alone because it's starting to get me ticked off just reading it. So we'll move on. So we look at something else there, Cindy or James, that you want to chime in on?
Yeah, well.
You got it, Cindy?
I was going to, yeah, I got something here, but I was going to talk about Christie's, how he appointed that Muslim as a judge, and the fact that he is not, he's just one of the people that wants to appease Muslims, and it isn't going to happen. And the thing is, the Muslims come in to your community and they take over in little incremental ways, as you know, that's how you get things done. And that he comes in and when you get a guy in there in a judgeship, or you get him in a school teaching in a college or whatever, you know, his job is, he eventually worms his way in. Well, we just had to deal with this here in our county, they started to teach the five pillars of Islam in our high school here in Deltona. And we all went up to the school board to the meeting to protest this and to ask why we were learning about Islam when we were not allowed to teach anything about Christianity or Judaism or anything like that. Get to the board meeting, we've almost got the place packed out. There's also some Muslims there too. And all of a sudden they come in and they tell us the board meeting has been postponed because they had a threat. So now, and then the man who was heading up the protest got a text on his phone that said, You live by the sword, you will die by the sword.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He got a threat. So this is what you're dealing with when you give Muslims an inch. They take a mile. They are not interested in living together in peace with us. They are interested in taking over the world for Islam. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what Christians want to do too. But we have found out long ago that you can't make someone believe like you wanted to make. Now, you can force them to pretend. You can force them to act like they believe. But you cannot force them to believe anything in their heart that they don't want to believe. Okay? We found that out long ago with the Catholics, and that's why we started the Protestant Reformation and, you know, a lot of different things went on there. But Muslims don't think of it that way. They think of it that, yes, you can use jihad, you can use force, and force someone, and they don't care really whether you they don't care whether you believe it really or not. They don't care whether it's in your heart or not, as long as you just come to that prayer time, as long as you're facing Mecca and kneeling down on your prayer mat, and as long as you're fighting in the jihad with them, everything's fine. And so this is what we're dealing with. And Chris Christie is just one of the problems that we have, because we are never going to stop the spread of Islam in this country. We're never going to spread their influence. We're not going to stop their influence with people like Christie promoting them to these powerful jobs, where they can, and he's like, there's no, Sharia law doesn't have anything to do with Sharia law. He's not going to do Sharia law, this is America, right? Well, no, it is all about Sharia law. And, let's see, I don't remember if it was a circuit judge or if it was a Supreme Court judge that said it, but they said that they could use their, somebody was making a law or had ruled that Sharia law could be used in a case where it dealt with Muslims. That was here in Tampa. Where was that?
I think it was in a I think it was in a city in Michigan somewhere where a little county got together and they actually had they allowed it. I forget.
Well, Dearborn. Yeah,
huh?
Dearborn County,
and also in Tampa. There was a case that was adjudged last year that ruled under Sharia law in Tampa.
Yeah,
but that's
not
a hot spot for care.
Right.
And you know, and one thing about that really, as far as implementation of a foreign law in this country, is the fact that it is a foreign law. The Constitution
mm-hmm.
is the supreme law of the land, and below that is the, you know, U.S. federal codes. And nothing is supposed to trump that in our Constitution or in any other part of our legal code. So how they're making these calls to where a foreign law, and I don't care if it's Sharia law, I don't care if it's Hindu law, it doesn't matter what law it is. The fact of the matter is that it is a foreign law, and many of its tenants have gotten international condemnation because of its cruelty to women and children and animals, and its utter oppressiveness to human rights. And the fact that we would allow a law of that sort, and I don't, like I said, I don't care if it's Sharia law or if it's Hindu law or whatever law, you know, we don't have laws out of the Old Testament as the law of the land in America, and yet for some reason, or you know, but yet that for the last 200 years up until, you know, the last couple of decades anyway, there were no implementations of religious law in the United States. The fact of the matter is when you are doing that, when you are allowing a different legal system into the United States, that system then becomes a political system. And its only purpose at that point is obviously when they allow it to implement is the usurpation of American law. And that cannot, for any reason or circumstance, be allowed to continue within the borders of the United States. And it does not matter what where this law comes from. The fact of the matter is that the United States Constitution and laws within the, you know, the United States, the, you know, the U.S. federal code, they are the laws of the land, period. Any judge that would deem a foreign law to be acceptable within the borders of the United States should be immediately removed from office for violation of his oath.
Yep.
Period.
Absolutely.
And real quick, folks, I do see we got about 12 minutes of live time here left on the show. Of course, we do have the extended period, but those who are listening to the show live here but have not called in will not be able to listen to the extended version, at least not live, but it will be available in the archives shortly after the show ends. But if you'd like to listen or chime in the extended version, call in at 347-945-7428. You have about 10 minutes before the live portion ends. And again, that's 347-945-7428. And you can just hit the 1 on your number dial if you'd like to chime in or send me a message here in chat or via Facebook. But we do have about 10 minutes left of live time, and we will have the extended period as well. And people are welcome to call in to listen to that. So I just wanted to put that out there. So we do have a little bit of time here left for those listening in who have not called in. So go
Robert,
ahead, James. Yes.
Is the guy from New Jersey still on? Is the guy from New Jersey still on?
I think he's left.
Okay, because I wanted
Rob?
To ask him what. Yeah, that was Rob, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was wondering if he knew what Chris Christie's position on Common Core was.
I would think his position would be like any big government type person would be.
Well, we need to find that out too. We need to have all the ammunition we can if he starts to come in. We've got to start flying through our Facebook pages and all over the place, wherever we can, all over social media and everything. And we've got to let people know. We need to have a list of his.
Cindy, you wanted to hear from Rob. I believe he just called back in. This Rob?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Rob.
Okay,
hey,
great. Thank you very much for calling back in. Go ahead, Cindy.
I was listening to the show. Unfortunately, I had to get off the line. My phone was dying, so I had to.
Sorry about that.
I had to shut it down to recharge it. I did hear the question. I've never heard him take any kind of stance on it, in all honesty. I'm Googling it right now to see if there's according to Lonergan's campaign, Christie's actually championed Common Core. And I'm not Chris Christie. Yeah, there's actually a YouTube video here. It says Chris Christie, Republican governors are leading on Common Core. It looks like he. I'm looking at the official state website right now. Christie administration takes action to implement building block of high academic standards in New Jersey schools. Common Core state standards ensure New Jersey students are getting the skills and education needed to be college and career ready. This is an official release from the Christie administration. It's on the state of New Jersey's website, actually. It's on state.nj.us.
Championing.
He's for Common Core.
Championing.
All right, well, okay, let me just then give you some examples of what's going on around the country with Common Core. The school systems that have embraced Common Core standards, this is what we're seeing in their state. Sixth grade, history class, Bryant School District, Arkansas. Students were assigned a project to update the U.S. Bill of Rights because it's outdated. They were instructed to prioritize, revise, omit two, and add two amendments. This written assignment is full of lies.
I'm totally aware of that. We actually have our Pennsylvania state leader, which I'm buddies with, he's actually going through this right now. His eighth grade daughter was given, and this actually made it to Fox News, because here's what happened when he challenged Common Core. The teacher that he challenged about it actually went snooping on his Facebook page and said he looked like a neo-Nazi. The man's Jewish, and his wife is half black. And she actually recorded this on somebody else's voicemail. It's on Fox. If you go to fox43.com and you do a search for Josh Barry, that's Barry, it'll give you the link to the story. And he's been going through this for quite some time now. He told me, he initially told me when it happened. His daughter was given a story from the New York Times, which we know how slanted the New York Times are, and one of the questions on this schoolwork assignment was, why do you think the Republicans are threatening to shut down the government? And do you think a government shutdown is a good thing? So, yeah, if you go find that website, you'll actually see everything that's going on. And
what's the website called?
Excuse me?
What's the website called?
The website's called Fox43.com. It's Fox News, but it's the local news. It's local over there in Pennsylvania. That's why I have a Pennsylvania number, because I moved out of Pennsylvania back to Jersey for a little while here because my father passed away and my mom can't live by herself, so I sort of got stuck here for now. But
oh, there could be worse things than get stuck with your mom.
When your mom's 81, yeah.
and real quick, folks, thank you very much. Harriet just sent me this article, and I do have it posted on the Bard's Logic Political Talk page on Facebook for folks to check out and share. And the article is called Common Core Islamic Indoctrination Textbook Has Floridians Outraged. And you may have seen this too, because it looks like it talks about Volusia County.
Exactly. That's what we're fighting here in Volusia.
It says, Common Core Islamic indoctrination of students in American schools is overt. This is the goal. In Volusia County, Florida, hundreds are protesting the ode to Islam that is, quote, world history, a Common Core approved high school textbook, history textbook, with an entire chapter dedicated to the virtues of Islam and not a single chapter for Christianity. And I wonder if it has anything about paganism in it. But anyway, it says
there's nothing about anything in there.
Just about Islam, nothing about Druids or anything. The textbook has Floridians in a frenzy, and who is the biggest pusher of Common Core's besides leftist progressives. The Islamic Society of North America, another Muslim Brotherhood front group, along with the Hamas CAIR, and in Florida, Hamas CAIR, C-A-I-R, is on the offensive. Common Core seeks to indoctrinate students, to brainwash them into becoming followers of Islam, to make jihadists via the classroom. So who's behind the push for Common Core Islamic indoctrination? Muslim Brotherhood front groups, namely the Islamic Society of North America. In Florida, Hamas CAIR is taking exception to the charge that the world history, in quotes, textbook used by high school history students is overtly pro-Muslim. It is more than pro-Muslim. It's more than just an Islam-praising handbook. But real quick, before I go on to the rest of the article, for anyone else who's listening live, there's about a minute left to call in to listen to the extended version, and you can call in at 347-945-7428. That's 347-945-7428 to listen to the extended version, or wait to the end of the show, and the extended version will be on the archives. But thank you very much for the folks who are listening live tonight to the show, and unfortunately we will not be seeing each other next Wednesday. I will be on, in my opinion, a much-needed vacation, and so I will not be doing a live show. I may do a rebroadcast if I can get it set up from my remote location that I will be at next week. So back to the article on Common Core. Excuse me. It says, in Volusia County, Florida, parents and community members are outraged that their children are being subjected to this level of Islamic proselytizing. Common Core seeks to make Islamic jihadists out of students, so people are taking to the streets. And there is more to the article, but if folks want to read more of it, please go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk page on Facebook. And if it gets enough, it's there. Perhaps we'll also put it on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. So, Cindy, since you are in Volusia County, if you want to tell us more about what you're experiencing there with Common Core. I know we're taking a little bit of a change of topic here on the show from the original, but that's okay. And we are now in Bard's Logic After Dark. So go ahead, Cindy.
Well, that's what I was referring to earlier when I told you the story of how we went all down to the school board meeting to fight this Muslim doctrine that is in this new Common Core curriculum that is going out. And you know, we're kind of late to this fight because Common Core has really been coming along for quite a while. It's not really that new, and yet people are just now getting the gist of what it is. And so now we finally see the situations, the real-life situations, like here in Deltona, where they were going to teach the five pillars of Islam, and they were teaching that jihad is something between you and God. It's not between you and non-believers or you and anybody else. It's between you and God. You're fighting for God somehow. I don't know. I forget how they put it now. I don't want to try to quote it exactly because I can't remember the exact quote, but it was an absolutely false view of the word jihad. And they're teaching this five pillars of Islam as a very benign, very peace-loving religion with, you know, just people trying to have a relationship with God. They're not trying to take over the world. They're not trying to do anything bad to anybody. They're just trying to love God in their own way, and that's how it's being portrayed. And like I said, we went there to protest it. We were told we had to leave because there was some kind of a threat to the school board. And I'm assuming it was from the Muslims in town that didn't want this little meeting to happen. And because we know that Rick, the guy that was leading our protest there, also got a text on his phone, or maybe it was on his Facebook message. I'm not sure. Anyway, he got a message one way or the other, whether it was text or Facebook message, I'm not sure. But it said, you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Okay, and so that's what we're fighting. And
was that all reported to the law enforcement?
I don't know because as I was trying to leave, he was doing an interview with several news people, and so I could not speak to him, and I had to go. So I don't know if he reported it or not. But I'm sure that the school board reported their threat that they got.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway,
folks, just to let you know, I posted the link to the news story for Josh Barry. It's actually made it to foxnews.com. I posted the link for it on the Facebook page for Bard's Logic Political Talk.
Thank you.
And I also posted the Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum article on that I was reading from a little while ago, that is examples of how Common Core is being taught in our schools. And it seems like the most egregious of it is the social studies and history and government type subjects. Those are the ones where we're really getting lambasted and bashed. So, yeah, I got this Josh Berry thing up here, too, and I can't wait to listen to this. A neo-Nazi, right?
Yeah, and it's not just in the public schools. You know, my daughter goes to a private school, and I've seen a book, but I think it was just like a math class that said, you know, and I'll look at more other history and books than that, but it said Common Core on, I think, one of her math books or something like that. So it's not just in public schools either. It's made its way into private as well.
There was an example of a third grade math page that I saw somewhere. I'm going to see if I can find it, but in the meantime, I'll try to explain it. It was funny math. Boy, was that funny math. It was like you had to think things out. It was like how to estimate something in order to figure out whether your answer was close enough to be a realistic answer. And the way they had you estimating, they estimated for the exact number of 291, they wanted the kids to estimate 200. For 291, they wanted the kids to estimate 200. That is way off, you know.
Wise men once told me, figures don't lie, but liars can figure.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Coming out of the administration, they have said, and this is Obama, if you can prove that 2 plus 2 is 5, it's acceptable.
Right.
That's from the administration, okay? Yep. That was maybe a month ago. I would like to connect with you, Cindy.
Okay.
Because we're in Florida, and we have a lot to talk about. I'm involved in the Common Core fight. Yes. We have a lot of issues here, too. So.
I can also give you another name on Facebook that you can go to, a lady that's heading up the fight against Common Core in Alaska, if you want to. Do you know Barbara? Because I'll show you how to get in touch with her.
Yeah, just send a message to me, Deb, through the Bard's Logic Political Talk contact page, and you know, send me a message there, and then I'll convey your email address over to Cindy, where you folks can share contact information.
Great.
What's your last name again? Because I'll look for you on Facebook.
I'm not going to say that on the radio.
Okay, I understand. Give it to Robert.
go to the Bard's Logic website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com, and there is a contact page where you just fill out the little boxes, and it'll send me an email to the show's email address, and then give you contact information, and I will send that over to Cindy.
Wonderful. Y'all take care. It was great. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much for coming to the show. If you'd be so kind just to share the link with all the folks you know so they can listen to the archives, we'd really appreciate it. And you're definitely welcome back to come and chime in on any of our other shows.
Greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
Have a good
take
evening.
Care and have a good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Okay, well, we continue on with the extended version here. If you want to, you know, go back to our original topic or talk more on Common Core, that's definitely okay with me. Excuse me.
That's fine with me. You're the boss, sick. Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, okay, well,
I'd like to say something real quick about Common Core that a lot of people probably aren't aware of is the fact that Common Core is actually not a requirement. The requirement is that, I'm trying to think of what the right word is. It's basically financial blackmail by the U.S. Department of Education. Any school system, any state school system can opt out of Common Core, but the price that they pay for doing so is receiving zero funding from the federal government if they do so. They can have their entire own original curriculum that, you know, with whatever they want in it. The problem is they receive zero federal funding for their education system. What surprises me with that is you have a state like Texas that has an absolutely booming economy, and they could, any state in the country could lead the way and be the example and step away. You know, they talk about secession a lot in Texas, but it seems that the best way to begin such a thing would be to step away from federal matching funds or federal funding in anything in Texas. And I'm just saying, you know, put up or shut up. If you really, you know, I'm calling Texas out right here, and I love Texas. Texas is a great place to be. But if they're going to talk all this talk about seceding, well, start by removing yourself from the federal system, and have your own education system. You know, make it where you count Common Core doesn't exist in Texas anywhere because you pay for your education system yourself down there. And if any state in the country is capable of doing that right now, it would be the state of Texas. And I think it would be a great thing to see them lead the charge and be the one state in the country that refuses to have Common Core by simply funding their own Department of Education within Texas. And that's something that, here in Oklahoma could actually be very easily done. And all they would have to do is change some of the criminal code so we're not locking people up for things, you know, for, you know, 10-year sentences that would be a misdemeanor in other states. And we spend a huge amount of money locking people up here in Oklahoma. And, the fact is they could get completely away from that thing, and they could fund so many other things that would actually be useful to the people of Oklahoma if they would just quit simply putting 1 out of 12 people in the state in prison. It's just one of those, you know, our federal government is bad, but the state governments aren't much better. You know, when here in the state of Oklahoma, we've got a governor whose governor was paid for by private prison corporations. So you can kind of imagine who's scratching who's back there. And we've got a problem all over this country in a way, and it goes back to I don't remember who said it tonight. Got to remove money from politics. Until we do that, we will never stop what's going on now. Now, I don't know if this is the perfect solution, but an idea that I've thrown out about that is to pass a law that says no corporation or anything of the sort can donate money to any political cause, and any funding for a campaign simply must come from an individual voter, and you have to show your ID, yes, voter ID, and and you can donate directly to a campaign from your own checkbook, no more than $100 per registered voter. And let's see, $300 million times $100 is nowhere near what they're spending just on presidential campaigns already. And I think that would be a good start in the right direction to getting money out of at least the campaigns. It's a big thing, you know. And the fact is, I wouldn't even want to begin to imagine. And Rob, I don't know if you're still here or not, but the one thing that might be interesting to look up is to see how much the RNC spent on making sure that Chris Christie was reelected in New Jersey.
Yeah. Rob, you're still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm looking. Give me a second.
And, you know, because obviously, he's got the support. Otherwise, the Democrats wouldn't already be, they're at least the liberals would not be, running their yap about how he's the darling of the Republican Party and likely candidate.
Not by any stretch.
It's kind of one of those funny things. whenever it comes from a source like that, it's kind of like listening to Obama. If he says it, you can just about bank on the opposite being true. And that's one thing that I do appreciate about Obama is the fact that, you know, you can consistently find out the truth by looking in the other direction from what he's saying. And you know, if he says, you know, they're phony scandals, well, you darn well know that they're real.
Yep.
And you know, if he says there is no cover-up, well, you certainly know that there has been. And, I mean, when the fact you've got somebody like Lindsey Graham, as pathetic as he is, as pathetic as Lindsey Graham is, actually holding up federal appointments by President Obama over the stonewalling that's going on in Benghazi, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a heck of a statement. Now, I would wager that Lindsey Graham is simply doing it because his poll ratings have dropped to, pathetic lows. But, that's one thing that you can count on with politicians in D.C. is their narcissistic nature kicking in. And people say right now that the odds of impeaching Obama are slim to none. And, you know, with the current state of the Senate, that is very true.
Sure.
However, I think looking at Lindsey Graham's behavior and the fact that he's doing that, you know, with Benghazi, that if we were to continue to let Obama be Obama, even Democrats will begin to fall away from him. And with every day that he continues to behave like he is, the odds of talking the Senate into voting for, you know, to convict him increase. So I say that, you know, to that note, carry on, Obama. Please continue being yourself.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the Democrats out there that have just the Joe Schmo, you know, my cousin and those people, my aunt and uncle. I can't wait for them to get that insurance bill. Now, my aunt and uncle are probably on Medicare, so what we're going to wait for with them is to see how they are treated when they go into the hospital now to get something serious taken care of, and how much money the government's going to be willing to spend on them now since they're past 70-something. And then the other thing is my cousin. I want to see if he has health care right now, he's probably going to get it canceled very soon. And so then he's going to go to the government website, if he hasn't already, to try to sign up. I cannot wait for him to see what the prices are going to be for him. That's going to be what's going to tell it. And I think that's why Obama's website was slow rolling out, because he doesn't want people to know how bad it's going to be with this coming election.
Well, yeah, there was even talk about, holding off the individual mandate, you know, among other things, I believe. And, you know, of course, until after, you know, 2014, of course, because, you know, they're afraid of the detrimental effect it's going to have on the election.
Uh-huh. Yep, you know it.
You know, so it's not as good of a thing to be if they're willing to just let it hold off, you know.
If we could get a Republican Senate in there, we have a chance to impeach Obama before he has to leave.
Yeah, but the problem with that is then we got to figure out how to get rid of Biden.
Yeah,
actually, getting rid of Biden will be very simple, because he violated federal law when he revealed the identities of SEAL Team 6. That in and of itself is a high felony.
Oh, no, I know that.
Okay.
Extortion 17, but still, that's another – that would have to be – basically, he would have to be impeached, too.
Well, exactly.
And then after that, if we go through, I don't know if you remember the Ford thing, but that would make Boehner president.
Right.
Unless, of course, as what I've been, what I've read some tidbits about is the House is actually looking to replace him in January.
Yes, I have heard that, and I'm praying for that.
Replacing Amen to that.
Who they're considering replacing him with?
They haven't said that yet. I'm hoping for Trey Gowdy myself, just because he's such a fireball.
Yeah, just to give you guys an update, I did research on it. The numbers aren't out yet as to how much they spent this year. But for the last election, the RNC spent about $4 million for Christie.
I bet you they spent more this time.
Well,
I wonder how much was funneled through PACs, so it wouldn't have to be reported directly by, because it's hard to imagine a governor running on just $4 million when here in Oklahoma they spent $50 million on a governor's ball.
Wow.
That's
just what the RNC spent. That's not including what Christie spent, what Christie raised.
Right.
You know, that's not the whole ball of wax. That's just what the RNC spent last time he ran. Because, I mean, right now the numbers are it's too close. The election just passed. The numbers probably haven't even been filed yet with the New Jersey Election Committee and federal election committees wherever they need to file their numbers. So, some of it's got to be filed federally. Some of it's got to be filed through the state. It all depends. It all depends on who and what you're talking about, what type of PAC and what type of, what type of organization it is. So,
they're not going to spend more money than they need to anyway, and he was so high in the polls, they probably didn't think they had to spend any more money. But I don't think they
spent a ridiculous amount of money because they actually published Bono's numbers, and the DNC almost gave nothing regarding her. But like I said, I mean, she was you read news reports and it sits there and says she was Obama's beacon of light. But New Jersey is a blue state, but she makes Obama look like a moderate.
This is a frightening thought.
Yeah, she makes Obama look like a moderate. That's why she didn't have any chance whatsoever. And like I said, Christie is still, I was just watching a video, Christie says he's not going to run for president. He just made that announcement. I lost the page. They showed a video of him, and he says, I'm flattered. And anybody that says, stop asking me, you're annoying me, they're lying, about running for president. They're lying to you. I am very flattered, and I am very honored that people think I can run this great country, but I'm going to stay here and finish the job. So that's his last official statement about him running for president. So this obviously may be a mute point.
Well, we can all breathe a small sigh of relief, at least for now.
Somebody said, Wyatt, that somebody asked me today, if they didn't run Hillary, who they thought maybe the Democrats would try to run, and what's everyone's thoughts on Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
I'm not aware of who that is.
Yeah, I heard that too, Robert. I heard that they might run her, but I think she's like past her political prime. I don't think they're going to go with her.
I'm hoping for a Michelle Obama Hillary Clinton ticket. That way, just because the Republicans could literally run anybody, and it wouldn't matter. It'd be like the biggest landslide victory in the history of the country.
Well, we thought that we were going to get that with Obama too, but that didn't happen. So,
well, you know how if you guys heard this before, you know, I apologize for being redundant, but for the new folks listening in, you know how Anthony Weiner was running for mayor of New York. I believe it was New York. And, you know, he dropped down. I mean, he dropped out or whatever. And so now there's talk about him being running for president for the Democratic Party. And they said that Eric Holder was going to be his running mate.
Oh,
yeah, I can honestly say.
Yeah, so you know, a Weiner Holder.
It'll be the Weiner Holder ticket.
I heard that joke before too. But yeah, no, the reason Weiner dropped out, the reason Weiner was dropped
was Logic After Dark.
The DNC didn't want nothing to do with him. They didn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, he's too hot. He's gone.
Yeah, they went with this guy, and this guy won. I mean, he won by a very narrow margin, but he's like the first Democrat that was elected, which, you know, okay, he's tell me Bloomberg wasn't Democrat in, you know, a dino.
Yeah, wow.
You know, yeah. Well, no, he was a registered independent, but he was a Democrat. I mean, there's
yeah.
no, and that's why I'm worried about doing the rally, because a lot of people don't know, but New York has a law on the books now that if cops can sit there and search you for whatever reason, and you have to stop and let them search you. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, anybody ever heard of the Constitution? Probable cause?
Wow.
It doesn't exist anymore in New York City. It doesn't exist anymore in New York City. They can, it's going to, it was approved, then it was overturned, then it was, now it's approved again, and supposedly it's going to be going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say that.
Here's
that
an idea.
To the Supreme Court.
If they follow TSA rules, then just wear a burqa while you're out there protesting and they won't touch you.
Hey, good point. Good point, James.
You know.
I can't do that. I love my country too much. I just found out that I can't have my flag on a pole either. That's illegal.
What?
So yeah, I can't have my flag on a pole.
Well, I guess you'll have to go to the state capitol up there and take their flag down that's on the up there, won't you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, my flag comes off of the pole that I have on it. It's got two bolts that screw into it because it's a metal pole, but they consider that a weapon. I'm like, really?
Huh.
It's the American flag.
Wow.
Yeah, how exactly are you supposed to fly it on a golf club?
Yeah, I'm going to hold it. I'm going to drape myself in it. That's what I'm going to do.
The only people who would use a flagpole as a weapon are the other side. You're not going to use it. A patriotic person who's carrying his flag is not going to use it as a weapon. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I already wrote out a blank check, and my fiance has it in case I go to jail so she could bail me out. She normally comes to all rallies with me and everything like that, but she's not coming with me to this one. So,
which one are you talking about? You talking about the D.C. one or the New York one? The New York one?
The New York one. I'm doing a New York, we're doing overpasses, joint forces with March Against the Mainstream Media, and we're doing a huge rally in New York City. So far we have about 135 confirmed people, and it's growing every day. We're doing it November 16th. We're starting at ABC, then from ABC we're going to CNN, and then CBS, and then NBC, and then Fox News, because let's face it, Fox News is slanted too. They're slanted more to our side, but the media needs to start telling truth. I mean, at one point, it used to be a reporter could go to jail if they lied about something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nothing but lies are coming out of their mouth, and it's like, and Fox News has gotten annoying, too. It's like no matter who I turn on Fox News, Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. We had a shooting not far from me. It's actually where my fiance, one of the malls next to where my fiance works. There was a shooting in the mall. They're sitting there talking about Obamacare. Okay.
Wow.
You guys are on top of the news. Thanks for that. And, yeah, it was, and nobody was shot. This guy was just shooting out cameras. So I don't know what this guy's deal was.
I can kind of appreciate that, actually. Yeah. You know, I've had that urge myself when I see those traffic cameras, but, you know, I haven't acted on it. I haven't acted on it, but, you know, I keep thinking 30-06, but, you know, just haven't quite managed to get the gumption up. And I don't see it ever happening, but that's why I don't drink.
Yeah, but you should have seen the police presence that was there. It was the entire parking lot. There had to be around 300 to 400 police cars.
Wow,
300 to 400 police cars.
Are you sure it wasn't Free Donut Day?
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't Free Donut Day. I'm sure it wasn't Free Donut Day, because toward the end of the situation, I had to actually put on one of the local news channels here to actually watch it, you know, unfold. And you know, there's neighborhoods now that don't have any police presence. And you guys are standing around in a circle, you know, shooting your shit, basically. Get back in your car, go back to your post. You're not getting paid to stand around. And it was just ridiculous. You know, and they even brought that up on the news. They're like, there's neighborhoods right now that don't have any police presence. What are these people doing? Why are they standing around?
Hey, so, James. What do you say we try to get as many overpass people as we can into Washington on November, what is it, 19th? Yeah.
19th.
Yeah.
It is. You know, that was actually kind of, I'm gonna really just express a little bit of disappointment in how rapidly that thing got thrown together. I wish there had been more notice for that, because we plan our national events out, you know, quite a bit of time in advance. We don't necessarily announce them right away, except for, to some state leaders and whatnot. But we had the 16th planned out, because we try to do them about every 2 weeks. And we'd actually gone a little bit longer. It'll be right at 2 weeks. And I wish we had had more notice for that, because it's kind of strange. People, because they have to get permits, and they get, people get upset when it's like, dang, I just spent this money on this permit, and now you change the date at the last minute, and now they're out of money. And so, but because of that, because people are willing to take money out of their own pockets to go get these permits, which they shouldn't even have to get to begin with. We were kind of had our hands tied.
You have the right to assemble as long as you pay for it, right?
Well, yeah, that's what the Constitution says. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of unconstitutional city ordinances around. I do believe that Virginia and Maryland and some of the other states surrounding D.C. are going to try to get some people there. I don't have numbers on that yet. But, man, I'm telling you, I wish we had known, a little bit farther in advance. So, I mean, we could have made it just a huge event. So, like I said, I'm a little disappointed at how, I mean, I guess it was kind of a sneak attack, in that effect, that it was thrown together so quickly. But I wish we had had just a little bit more notice than what we did.
Yeah,
and,
we're
going to muster up what we can, but I honestly don't know what kind of numbers we're looking at be at happening in D.C. I'll get with the Maryland and Virginia people in check, because they'll be most likely our largest presence there. And, of course, we've got a Washington, D.C. group as well. I would quite imagine the people in D.C. will be there at the very least. And I just wish we had a little bit more warning. about it, and I suppose just on a personal level, it's not like overpasses just showed up last week. It would have been nice to have gotten a heads up from that guy, because it's like we're out there, and I'm quite certain that he's heard of us, and had he contacted me, we'd have put the brakes on everything, you know, because, I mean, obviously the guy had it planned for, you know, at least, you know, kind of on the down low for a while before it was announced. And it would have been, I don't know, it would have been appreciated had he actually like, hey, we've already got this group of protesters out there, let's get them involved too, and just drop me a line. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So, but nevertheless, we're going to try to get as many people as we can out there. It's not going to be as substantial as it could have been had we had some notice.
Yeah, it's very important for, you know, all types, even if they're doing, you know, different types of events, different type of protesting, for, you know, people to network and coordinate and work together, because we're going to have to. I mean, we're going to have to show a presence en masse, you know, in order for the government to, you know, take ear to it.
Well, you're absolutely right. What we really need right now, and you know, really the hippies have got us just whipped as far as how they pulled it off. I mean, that must have been quite some undertaking, because they didn't have the internet. A lot of them didn't even have phones, and we're talking the late 60s, and, you know, didn't have phones, so driving around in VW vans and Beetles and motorcycles and everything. And how they pulled off their networking. I'll tell you what, I wish I could get a hold of an old hippie that was big into protesting back then, because that guy would be my sage advisor as to how to get people networked without modern technology. Because, man, I'm telling you what, I look at what they pulled off back in the 60s as far as the ability to get people together and protest, and I'm impressed. You know, they still are the standard. They are still the standard by which American protesting has to measure themselves by. And you know, I would like to think that at some point we will have protests larger than the Vietnam War protests out there against Obama. But, man, we need some of that sage advice to see exactly what they managed to – what was their secret? What did they do? You know, because – we've got a whole new generation of protesters out there, and as well as we pulled it off, I'll never turn the device down from an expert that knows how they got that going.
Well, I can tell you one thing I know. They used handouts, printed handouts and posters all over the place around the colleges and places like that. You know, they used the old-timey ways, but young people have a way of, they have an energetic way of passing stuff around that, I don't know, we old folks, we got to get better at it.
Yeah, we got to get our knees working better.
Yeah,
so we can get out there and walk around as much. And of course, unfortunately now, you know, colleges, a lot more than they were back in the 60s, colleges now are just leftist hotbeds, and trying to find somebody, you know, trying to find people at the university that are, go out and protest against Jamie Foxx's Lord and Messiah, President Obama, is a little more difficult. We actually did just recently reach out to, I can't remember what they're called, but it's basically the College Republicans, and we haven't heard anything back from them yet because we just started trying to get in touch with them. But I'll tell you what, I would love to get them out there, because, I mean, good grief, I could just imagine how outnumbered they feel at a university.
Yeah, a lot of what went on back then is a lot more people back then were politically active. I mean, they cared about what was going on in the world. Today, nobody cares. If it doesn't affect me, I don't care.
Well, I did just think of one ingredient they had back then, and that was that whole free love thing. And, well,
that's probably motivated a bunch of people, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we we don't have that magic ingredient. I'm not looking for it, you know.
Oh, come on, Jay.
Well, I'm married, so I can't.
You know.
Yeah, those days are over.
No free love networking, huh? Yeah, no free love networking. And I'm not married, and I still wouldn't do that. You know the whole catching something I can't scrub off with steel wool and Ajax.
Oh, shoot.
But
not only did they have that, but they also had the draft going on. They had the Vietnam War going on. They had, you know, I mean, we got our wars going on and all of that stuff, too, but we don't have drafts.
Right.
And, you know, back then, it's like, you're a kid in college, you're not on the draft list, but if you got a brother or sister or something like that, family member, they're getting drafted. You get upset over it. What do? You act. That's the whole big difference. I mean, the Vietnam War affected far more people than the wars that we're having today, because our military is volunteer now. There's nobody being drafted. There's nobody being forced to go fight or anything like that. Back then, that existed. So
you're right.
You know,
yeah, if these lily-livered kids that are running around colleges today were finding out they were getting a draft notice in the mail, they'd be doing the same thing that they were back then.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, well, at some point, I think during Vietnam, if you were in college, you could exclude yourself from the draft till you finished college.
Right.
But still, you know, it's like I got a brother, you know, he's not in college. He suddenly got drafted. Yeah, I'm gonna get upset over it, especially if it's a war that you know we don't believe in, and the majority of the country back then didn't believe in Vietnam. And, you know, I still look back at it today historically, and I still don't know what to think of it. You know, I talk to I'm ex-military, I'm former Navy. I talk to brothers that were in the Vietnam War and all of that stuff, and they're like, you know, it was an ever-loving hell, and, you know, they didn't have the support from the government when they were there, then they didn't have the support from the people when they came home. And it took years and years and years and years for people to finally start supporting the vets. You know, okay, you don't have to support the war, but at least support the vets. I mean, they didn't it's not like today. They didn't choose to go. They were forced to go.
Right.
They had to go. And you know, it's a completely different mindset. It's a completely different world. It's like from what the circumstances were back then. And I believe, you know, like you said, Christine, if people were getting drafted today, oh hell yeah, they'd be out on the bridges. They'd be out on, you know, doesn't matter what president. I ain't going to war for you.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing about it. It's that to me is like the major factor as to why they were able to mobilize, because not only did you have colleges, you had draft lines too, you know, and then people talk like, I don't want to go. I mean, how long did they talk about during Clinton's presidency that he was a draft dodger, that he went to Canada?
Right.
And then nobody cared.
Nobody cared, because they're like, oh yeah, I can't really blame him all that much, you know.
They didn't care until Bush's father got him into the Coast Guard instead of drafted,
yeah,
and then when they found that out, all of a sudden
that,
they
yeah.
cared.
Yeah, but yeah, it's mandatory to register for selective service, but which I found very weird, because I was actually in the Navy. I turned 18 when I was in the Navy already, And I actually got a letter. They were threatening to throw me in jail for not registering for Selective Service. my father wrote back giving him my address on my ship.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Didn't register because he signed up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they were like, my father
wow.
was, well, if you want to contact him, please write USS Nitro, AE-23, 6th Fleet Tactical Command Group 2.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
And, they Selective Service had no idea I was actually actively serving.
So what did they do at that point?
Excuse me?
What did they do? Did they contact you?
Yeah, they contacted me, and I actually had to register for Selective
Service.
Oh,
my gosh. Well,
wow.
That's a bureaucratic, you know what?
I'm like, it's law. Everybody that turns 18 has to register for Selective Service. I'm like, I'm active duty military. You still got to register. What?
Wow. What a waste of paper.
No. That was them saving face. They couldn't bear to for you to know that they made such an idiotic mistake, and so they had to carry it through and still get you to register for Selective Service.
Yeah, Jersey's screwed up too. My grandfather was deceased 11 years, and he got a notice to appear in court for jury duty.
Jeez.
That means he was also still on the voters roll.
Yeah, he was deceased 11 years, and he was sent a notice to appear for jury duty.
Well, you know what you could have done? You could have sent an illegal alien at that point. With a security, here's a social security number.
It would have been hard to find an illegal alien that was like 100 years old. Because my grandfather died when he was 89.
Well.
Excuse me. But, I ended up calling him and I said, my grandfather is incapable of attending jury duty. They said, why? I said, because his residence is the Fairlawn Cemetery. They said, what? I'm like, he's been deceased 11 years. Oh, my God, we're so sorry. We'll take him off the rolls.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow.
I see, folks, that we only have about 13 minutes left of even through the extended version here. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and take a few moments to give each one of you some parting words for this evening. And, of course, I will give deference to the lady first, and I'll have you go first, Cindy, and then we will move it to James, and then we'll go Rob, and then I will go ahead and close things out. So go ahead, Cindy. Time flies, doesn't it?
Well, my final word is, We can't possibly have Chris Christie on a GOP ballot. If that happens, I will know that my theory has been correct all along, that the GOP does not ever intend to win an election, as long as it doesn't matter. They don't intend to win an election, period. If that's the kind of candidate they put up again. We've already proven to them two times in a row that they cannot win with these rhino Republicans that nobody can get behind. And they don't inspire the vote. They don't inspire Republicans to go to the polls. Okay, these people cannot win. We try to tell them that with McCain.
Hello?
Hello?
Did we lose her? Oh, no. What is the phone?
Hang on. Okay. Sorry. I accidentally muted myself. Okay, so we said, okay, we're not going to have McCain. He's a rhino. But they said, okay, well, how about if we give you Sarah Palin? All right, well, fine, okay. We'll hold our nose and go into the polls.
Vote for Sarah Palin.
Right.
That's what
right.
I did. I was
so
still like, yeah, I'm going to give it for
Then they gave us Mitt Romney, and we said, no, not to have Mitt Romney. Well, he's a good man. He's a family man. It's going to be nice. Don't worry. He's got to be better than Obama, the mantra. Anybody's better than Obama. Well, Chris Christie, you can't give him anything like that. You can't say he's a war hero. You can't say he's a good family man or, you know, got morals and, you know. I mean, just look at the mouth on that guy. You can't say that he has anything to offer. I mean, how could they possibly put him up and expect their base, their conservative base, to vote on that guy, to vote for that guy? How could they expect us to go out to the polls and pull that Republican lever? It just isn't going to happen. So if they put him up, which I don't think that they will, I think after all said and done, I don't think that they will. And hopefully what Rob was saying a little while ago is true, that he's refusing to run. That would be even better. We don't have to worry about it. But if they were to put him up, in fact, they put up anybody like him, next time, that will be an indication to me that I no longer need to be in the Republican Party, because they're not, they have no interest in my vote at all. No. Anyway, that's all I have to say. And thank you guys all for coming on. I appreciate it, and it's been great conversing with you.
Thank you, Christine.
And likewise, definitely.
Definitely, and then then we'll go to you, James, and then we will end it with the two Rob.
Really
quick, James, I want you to you got something going on next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, correct?
Yes, I do. Actually, I will be starting Overpasses. We will have our own radio show. I'll be the host, and we'll have people like Rob and others to show up to give me a hand at that. It'll be what the title of the show will be is Wake Up America, and we'll be doing that from 11 till noon Eastern, and that will I'll have more information on that. I don't have the Patriot Nation Network is where it will be. I believe that's what it is. I'm so terrible with names. I wasn't expecting you to bring that up. I don't have everything right in front of me.
James, thanks for the memo.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't announced it yet because I don't have all the details on it. It's on the same network that Ernest and General Lee is on of the truckers. The truckers rallied to D.C., and he also did the 1,000-mile march, and it's on the same network that he's on. He has graciously offered that opportunity to me, and really, truly appreciate it. And you know, we'll be on there from, like I said, from 11 till noon Eastern. That'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if things go well, then we'll increase the time and possibly the number of days per week. He's left that door open for me as well. And you know, we'll just be we'll be singing the truth, you know, yelling the truth out to the people to get America, you know, to wake America up, because America's got to wake up, and there's just no doubt about it. You know, we've been asleep for a very, very, very long time, and just like anybody that's been sleeping too long, it takes a long time to get yourself roused. And that's the goal of the whole thing, is to just present the facts to people that are out there listening to what's going on in this country and the direction that we're headed, and to get people have got to be more active, and that's really what we're there to try to do, is to inspire people to be more active in their own lives, in what goes on in this country, what goes on in their state, what goes on in their city. you know, we've all got to take a little bit of time out of what we call our personal lives to make an influence on the long-term aspect of our lives. You know, turn off that TV for an hour and do something to get involved. And that's really, it's an opportunity. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, I've got to admit, I didn't have a single bit of nerves until you brought that up. And that's something, I mean, I don't get nervous very often. I usually walk into something and they get accused of being cavalier. And with this particular venue and opportunity, it's kind of a dream come true. I went to radio broadcasting school 20 years ago, and two weeks before I graduated, I was hit by a car and then put in intensive care for 2 weeks. And that dream never came true. And I don't even know if I've told General about that, but he has actually made a dream of mine come true. 20 years later, I'll actually finally get to be behind a mic and speak my mind. And so hats off to him, and hats off to him for everything he did in D.C. and on this 1,000-mile march. And it's going to be awesome.
Well, that's great.
Well you're not nervous. It's not nerve.
And hear more about it.
It's not nerve. You're excited.
Well, yeah, I am excited, but it's you know, it's going to be something else. We're going to have a lot of fun.
He's excited. This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah. Yes. You are going to be.
Thanks for volunteering me, buddy.
Hey, you know.
Well, unfortunately,
you know I'll do it, right?
Yeah,
I've only got a couple minutes left, and we'll definitely, don't want to have to shut off in the middle of our conversation, because on the extended period, once it hits that last hour, it'll just disconnect us. So if you'd like to say about 30 seconds, though, Rob, I'm sorry for giving you the limited time, but I'd like to be able to get the chance to shut out the show for this evening. So go ahead, Rob. Sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off, James, just we're running out of some minutes here.
Nope, that's all good. Go, Rob, go.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys gave any consideration to this, but you know who I'd like the RNC to pick to run for president? Dr. Ben Carlson. I don't know what your opinion is on him, but he's a very intelligent man. He's very conservative. I think he would be an awesome pick for the Republican Party, because there's a lot of unity he could bring back, because, you know, a lot of people don't know Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, they were Republicans. They hated the Democratic Party. It was the Democratic Party that tried to It was Wallace that tried to keep them from segregating schools. It was the Democratic Party that, you know, started the Civil War. It was the Democratic Party. And I don't know where in our history this has gotten lost to the minorities. And this is the thing, we're going to be the minority soon. So, We all have to figure out how to work together and how to bring this nation together, because if we don't, we're done. If we don't, we're done. And I think Dr. Ben Carson, I have so much respect for him. I watch him on Fox News whenever he's on, but he's phenomenal. So
maybe we could get him on the show, Rob. That'd be great. We can have myself included in the audience, learn more about him, and we'll definitely like to hear from him. But I do only have probably less than a minute.